ahead. Please be seated. The 130 case today is Rockland Township Constable Jordan Ross et al. Versus Constable John Bonaventura. Case 61430. Are counsel ready to proceed?
Yes, Your Honor.
All right, Mr. Goodman, go ahead.
Thank you. On behalf of the appellant, and may it please the court. As a threshold matter, there is no express statutory right of private right of action in NRS 258.070. Whether a private action can be applied is up to three factors pursuant to the Baldano v. Wayne case. The three factors that the court needs to look at is one, whether or not plaintiff is a class for whose special benefit the statute was enacted. Number two, whether the legislative history indicates any intention to create or deny a private remedy. Number three, whether such a remedy is consistent with the underlying purpose of such a scheme. When the Supreme Court in California v. Sierra Club specifically held that the statute that focuses on the persons regulated rather than individuals protected create no implication of an intent to confer rights on a particular class of persons. And that's what we have here, Your Honors. The purpose of NRS 258.070 is to regulate the scope and services performed by constables. When you look at whether or not the legislative history indicates any intention to create or deny a private right of action, there is no legislative history. There is no evidence in the record. But what we do have is within Chapter 258, the legislature expressly provided the Board of County Commissioners the authority to regulate every aspect of constables in Clark County. From fixing their compensation to auditing records to abolishing the office of constable, which recently has occurred. The court explained that three factors are not entitled to equal weight, with the determinative factor being whether the legislature intended to create a private right of action. In the absence of an expressed provision which provides for a private right of action, it strongly suggests that the legislature did not intend to create a private right of action. Respondents do not oppose that in their answering brief. They provide no legal analysis or other challenge to these Baldonado factors, except for a scant reference that the court lacked the jurisdiction to review the issue because it wasn't raised in the district court. However, standing can be raised at any time in the litigation, even for the first time on appeal. There will be a judicial district court. And I'd like to reserve that minute if I can, Your Honor. Questions of subject matter jurisdiction are not weighed and will be considered for the first time on appeal or sui sponte by the court. There is no contrary position, except that the Board of County Commissioners have the authority from one end of the spectrum to the other end of the spectrum to abolish an office, which allows them to regulate constables. And that would also include the administration of service of process and executing writs throughout Clark County. The district court, in entering a preliminary injunction order, simply did not have jurisdiction because plaintiffs lacked standing to enforce NRS 258.070. The second issue is whether or not the district court committed error by failing to consider the rules of statutory construction in interpreting and our position reading in to 258.070 a jurisdictional requirement where none exists. In so doing, if the district court avoided applying NRS 0.0.025 subsection T subsection A, which makes clear that an antecedent phrase must be set off by a colon before a the antecedent phrase to the rest of the text. There are no colons, and there are no semicolons or other conjunctive language which would support the district court's interpretation of reading a phrase limited in his or her township to subsection A, which is set off by a period, to the remaining three subsections, which are distinct and separate from subsection A. Indeed, the legislature recently considered and rejected this very same interpretation in the 77th 2013 session of the Nevada legislature. In fact, that language, the way that the district court interpreted it by reading that phrase into the entire text, was drafted in the initial bill, considered by the legislature, and affirmatively removed. And we filed that recently as a supplement, and we asked this court to take judicial notice that that is legislative history, which wasn't available before, which indicates that the legislature does not intend to apply the phrase in his or her township to the remaining three subsections. While the legislature did confine constables to their townships when it related to other issues, for example, the Fair Share Program regarding the issuing of citations for out-of-state license plates. Moreover, in interpreting a statute by reading an antecedent phrase into the rest of the text, the district court failed to harmonize other more specific statutes, specifically allowing constables to execute writs of attachment and garnishment without such limitation to township boundaries, pursuant to NRS 21.111 and NRS 31.235. In those statutes, there are no restrictions to his or her township. Such harmony is self-evident because if you take the district court's interpretation the way it is, it renders absurd results. For example, it would prevent professionally trained constables from serving civil process, whereas NRCP 4 subsection C would allow any person over the age of 18 without any training to serve the same papers. The only evidence that respondents introduced was summarily rejected by the district court and not considered, which was in the form of a Legislative Bureau Counsel letter, was not considered by the district court, even though it was referenced in the answering brief. The third issue is whether or not the district court committed error by enjoining non-party constables as part of his preliminary injunction order. Respondent acknowledged that the status quo among the 11 Clark County constables involved serving papers and executing writs throughout Clark County. However, respondent selectively sued two of the 11 Clark County constables despite the shared practice for decades. NRS 30.130 states in relevant part that all persons shall be made parties who have any interest which would be affected by the declaration, and no declaration shall prejudice the rights of persons not parties to the proceedings. That's exactly what happened in this case. The district court enjoined constables, including plaintiff and defendant, in its order. The district court made repeated references to, quote, the interpretation of this statute applies to all of the constables, end quote, quote, that goes for all the constables, quote, end quote, I'm talking about all the constables, end quote. Ultimately, the district court issued an order enjoining non-party constables. In addition to the mandatory language in 30.130, the district court also had an obligation to sua sponte enjoin necessary parties. And I reference Crowley v. Dufferin decision, or that this court found that a non-party to a disputed contract should have been joined pursuant to NRCP 21 and NRS 20.130 because the coffers of the non-party would be affected. Here, the district court's interpretation of statute, reading into the statute, this jurisdictional requirement prevents non-party constables from effectuating business throughout Clark County. The district court committed error by applying the preliminary injunction order to non-party constables in violation of NRS 30.130. The next issue I'd like to address is whether or not the district court applied or misapplied the standard for a preliminary injunction by applying instead a conscious disregard standard. Whether the district court applied the correct standard in deciding the matter is a legal determination subject to de novo review of this court. The district court sua sponte found irreparable harm based on a conscious disregard of the law despite making findings that all Clark County constables administered and served civil process throughout Clark County for decades. Conscious disregard pursuant to as defined by NRS 42.001 means the knowledge of the probable harmful consequences of a wrongful act and willful and deliberate failure to act to avoid those consequences. The appellant submitted a general's opinion in 1974, which precipitated the service of process throughout Clark County by all Clark County constables for the last decades. There is no evidence in the record which would support, much less substantial evidence, that the district court could find that there was a conscious disregard for any Clark County constable to violate the statute. Also, the district court applied strict scrutiny standard despite the fact that the regulation of constables under Chapter NRS 258 does not involve the fundamental rights or suspect class. The district court simply found that the public good was at issue because the entire population of Clark County has an interest in seeing that the statute and the legislature has their determinations carried out without any evidence in the record supporting that contention. Instead, what the district court did in entering the preliminary injunction order was change the status quo. Injunctive relief is designed to preserve the status quo until such time as the underlying action is resolved. In this case, the preliminary injunction order, which was in effect for decades, impacted the way that all Clark County constables serve process through Clark County. Two sub-issues that I would like to address briefly is whether or not the individual, John Bonaventura, was a real party in interest to enforce the claim, assuming that a private right of action existed. And pursuant to RCP 17 subsection A, every action shall be prosecuted in the name of the real party in interest. The proper party is the constable in his official capacity. All the allegations in the complaint and all the evidence in the record allege that other constables in their official capacity were interfering and with administration of civil process within the township of Las Vegas. And we suggested to the court that Johnny Bonaventura as an individual is not the real party in interest. Again, the respondent does not address this issue in the answering brief, effectively confessing that. The last issue I'd like to touch upon is there is only two causes of action in the complaint, a declaratory relief and injunctive relief cause of action.
Go ahead. Finish your thought.
Declaratory relief and injunctive relief is not a standalone claim under Nevada law. Declaratory relief is a remedy that derives from a substantive claim. Our position is that there was no independent claim to enforce, and the injunction cannot stand absent having an independent substantive claim. Thank you.
Okay. Good afternoon, Your Honors. May it please the Court, Scott Steinhoff on behalf of the respondent. Your Honors, the sole issue before this Court is whether or not the District Court abused discretion on the issuance of a preliminary injunction. Now, all the other issues raised by the appellants were not brought before the District Court until after the filing of the notice of appeal, not adjudicated on the merits at the District Court level, and not, cannot be considered on appeal.
Well, and you didn't address any of their issues in your answering the brief. You essentially stood on the position where you can't raise them now. They're waived, is what your position was, correct? And I assume that's why you didn't address them.
Well, it's clear that the position that we have taken is that the sole issue is whether or not this was abuse of discretion, and clearly given that.
But when they implicate jurisdiction, don't you have some responsibility to respond?
I think that given the legislative intent and the...
Well, I'm going back to jurisdiction. I'm not looking at the provision in particular. Now that they've raised jurisdiction, how do you have jurisdiction to bring this action?
Because the appellants have encroached upon the territory as clearly defined by statute, by the Legislative Council Bureau opinion, by the Attorney General. I'm sorry,
is there a private right of action?
Clearly, Mr. Brown, well, two things about that. One, number one, as a notice being state, it was clear that Mr. Bonaventura can bring this action. Number two, and one, clearly, I'm glad you're there.
Well, we've got to get back to jurisdiction before you can talk about bringing any action. What's his authority and his ability to maintain this action?
He's also a party in interest as a voter and a citizen upon in the territory in which appellants have infringed.
Okay, and if assuming for argument's sake that a voter in a jurisdiction has a right to bring a private action in this type of a case, looking at the district judge's order, was it too broad? It brought in all of the constables. We only need two in their individual capacity.
That's correct. We're on Article 4, Section 25 of the Nevada Constitution requiring a uniform system of government, I would say based on that the district court did not abuse this discretion implying the injunction mutually to all constables in Clark County.
Okay.
So the sole issue before this court is the issue of the injunction was the abuse of discretion. And in this case, the discretion district court lies upon the legislative intent of NRS 258.0701 as stated in the Legislative Council Bureau opinion of June 2012. Now, in that, it is clear that each constable shall be a peace officer in his or her own township. Amendment 11.201C execute the process, writs, or warrants that the constable is authorized to receive pursuant to NRS 248.100. In 248.100, the language is clear. In fact, I quote, it may authorize the constable of the appropriate township to receive and execute the process for its reliance on courts of justice, judicial officers, and quarters. So it's important to note that legislative intent is applicable to acts that and moving forward from that, in interpreting the statutory provisions, we need to first rely upon the clear language, the plain language of the statute, and the statute is absolutely clear on its face. Now, if somehow the plain language isn't clear, then we would then proceed to legislative intent. And the legislative intent is clearly stated in both the Legislative Council Bureau opinion
have that in the Attorney General opinion records. This has been in practice for over 100 years. Now, appellants raise the issue that, well, this is, because all the practices have been going on, this has been going on for decades. It doesn't make it right, Your Honors. It just does not. We have a public policy imperative should legislative intent fail so as not to obtain absurd results. What if, Your Honors, a possible from Incline Village was to set up shop down here in Clark County and start issuing work service process that they're not authorized to? So what would happen then? What redress would voters of Clark County have upon someone outside this jurisdiction?
Well, couldn't the county commission step in and address something that they didn't like? And wouldn't it be their job to do so?
They could, but what if the county, even if the county commission addressed it, what happens if they address it in a manner that is not consistent or in the interest of that particular, of those voters?
Because in that case, you would indicate that the constable, him or herself, would have a private right of action.
I'm not talking about the constable. I'm talking about the voter.
Okay.
So no, I'm not conceding that point at all. The infringement is upon the voters, the citizens of Clark County, who have no right of that, no redress against someone outside their jurisdiction and for whom they could not vote. Thank you. Now, with respect to the territorial jurisdiction, which a constable may perform the duties, pursuant to paragraph B, plain language provision does not contain the authority for the constable to assert such process outside the boundaries of their township. The appellant raises canons of statutory construction that do not apply here, because if we were to go somehow, plain language didn't apply in this case, and then after that, the legislative intent was somehow not found to be clear. Then after that, the public policy and the possibility of confusion were somehow to be found not to be an issue in this case, and the lack of accountability as well, then we still could not apply the canon of construction of the last AC rule, because there is the statute has to be, in this case, the statute is wholly self-contained. There's no additional language outside this, that subsection 1 and its internal paragraphs. Now, appellants then go on to reference NRS 21 and NRS 31. However, that leads us back to the language of NRS 248-100, which again clearly states that it must be served by the constable of the appropriate township. So therefore, based on the plain language, on public policy, and before that, on the legislative intent, there's absolutely no way that the district court, in any manner, abused its discretion. There is nothing arbitrary or capricious in its reasoning or its decision. There is substantial evidence of economic harm, and there is clearly substantial evidence, as they opined, with respect to the possibility of confusion and the lack of accountability. Something, by the way, the appellants admittedly competed with the respondents, that the appellants admittedly solicited the respondents' clients, that the appellants enjoy an act in a manner to interfere with the operation of the office by creating public confusion. And that went to the heart of the harm concerning the district court, harm that was directly discussed in the Legislative Council Bureau opinion. So, notwithstanding the substantial evidence of economic harm, the district court did not abuse discretion as substantial evidence was present finding the appellant for acting in a manner which may cause irreparable harm, as causing acting outside the townships, causing confusion, and being no longer accountable to the electorate. And again, I would refer the court to Article 4, Section 25, requires a uniform system of government. And accordingly, the district court did not abuse discretion in applying the injunction mutually to all councilors of Clark County.
Again, in particular, just so that I'm clear on what you're saying, what would you like to point to with regard to the issue on the private right of action? In particular, that the constable in his individual capacity has the a right to bring this as a private right of action.
I would respectfully on the court of these two things. Number one, that we have read his pleading state, and number two, that he is, as a private citizen, he is also subject to the harm referenced in our responding brief, as well as the Legislative Council of Europe opinion, and also referred to by the Attorney General opinion.
That's the issue about the other constables being necessary parties to this action. Do you have anything to say with regard to that?
I would return to the constitutional provision, Your Honor.
Which said what again?
Again, the uniform system of governance and uniform system. I'm going to quote it precisely. Uniform system of government, so that these laws applying to these constables named in the action, but also for the purposes of both the statute and the harm addressed as sought again for the injunction that was sought and obtained, that is the harm that would be suffered if the injunction were not issued. So you did have the threat of irreparable harm. And you did have a likelihood of success on the merits. And it does apply under that provision to, and certainly the need for it would apply to all constables, as stated in our brief.
Okay. Thank you. Did the district court comment on that uniform system section under the Constitution?
Yes,
in its decision about statement?
It addressed my points about the economic harm, but I don't know.
You don't know. I see. And you didn't raise it in your written papers up here. Right?
I'm sorry, but your opinion, Your Honor?
The citation to the Constitution that you just gave Justice Perry, was that in your brief here?
Whether it was cited in the brief, it certainly, I think, is binding and would apply in this case.
I see. Okay, thank you. Anything else?
I did not have to reserve 2 minutes from the bottom.
You don't have a cross appeal, so you can complete your time if you wish, or conclude your argument.
I'll conclude my argument this time.
All right. Mr. Goodman.
Thank you, Your Honor. I would just like to remind the court that the elected constables are also county officers. So with respect to responding counsel's analogy that you need to prevent constables from incline from coming down and serve process in Clark County for a variety of reasons, that would never happen. It's not practical or economical. But what the statute, what NRS 258 does provide is that the Board of County Commissioners, with respect to wherever the constables are located, deregulate those constables. So,
go ahead. Any issue, Bob?
And with respect to the statute, the appellant's position is that it is clear and unambiguous, and that it's just a matter of looking at the language and the way that the district court read it, The statute reads right now, each constable shall, with the colon, and it lists four separate subsections, which are set off by periods. The way that the district court read it was each constable shall be a peace officer in his or her township, colon. And then that, if you read it that way, if it was drafted that way, then I would understand how you can interpret that phrase to apply to the subsections B through D, but that's not how it's drafted. And the Clark County constables are only limited by serving papers by court of competent jurisdiction in subsection B or in D as prescribed by law. And I think that even though respondents keep on alluding to a letter from the LCB, which the district court didn't really consider, we don't even need to address that issue now because of the supplemental authority provided to this court where that language, the way that the district court interpreted that statute was actually drafted that way, considered by the legislature, affirmatively removed. So that is the legislative history and the evidence that there is no further limitation for Clark County constables to only serve within their township. Clark County constables can serve throughout Clark County.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Goodman. You've exhausted your time, counsel, for your arguments. In this case, we'll stand.